name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I am your host, Josh.
And I'm Mas Redekas.
Hold on a second. You're having a hard time understanding. Sam Scudder. Hold on a second. I have a little device here. I'm just going to attach.
Use what?
There. Okay. All right. Try it again now.
Are you
with us?
Oh, yeah. There we go.
That's
can you hear me now?
Better. Yeah, that's better. That's better. I think I was trying to interpret that. I think Jay is what you said as you introduced yourself.
Sure. Why not? Let's go with that. I don't think that's what I said, but
that's not what you said. Well, I have a hard time listening backwards. Since the Beatles, you know, I've just never been able to to figure that out. Anyway, you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show The Flash, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes, and hopefully you have a turntable where you can, you know, listen to our show backwards and you can hear secret messages.
Turn me on, dead man.
Anyway, my friend Mas Redekas, he is joining us this week, and I'm very – let's see. I want to use the proper description of how I'm feeling this week. I had a great time watching this episode that was not a gigantic, dramatic, throw-a-wrench-into-the-gears episode. It was just a fun-to-watch one. So I'm looking forward to talking with you about it and seeing how you felt, because we haven't really talked to each other about our reactions to this one.
Right. That's usually what we do on the podcast here, so I thought that would be
it is, but sometimes, you know, we have to, like, text each other in between.
Yeah. It was a busy, busy week.
Usually it's – you know what? Usually it's you texting me going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. And then I have to wait 2 hours to find out what you're talking about. So,
sorry.
No, that's actually good. It gets me more excited about it. So, well, you know what? Tell us about this episode first so we can start pinpointing the finer aspects of it to discuss.
All righty. So as we reflect on this episode, it is episode 4 of season 3 called The New Rogues. Originally aired October 25th, 2016. It was their 50th episode, Josh.
Really?
5-0, yeah.
Wow. You know, they made a big deal of the 50th anniversary of The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, but I didn't hear anything about this one.
Oh, that is true. They did make a big deal about that. Yeah. No, they weren't really talking about that. I think they're trying to save us a lot of the energy for the 100th Arrow episode, which is coming in just a few weeks.
Here, as they should. That's a big accomplishment, That's okay.
But 50 episodes, I mean, that's great. So written by Benjamin Robb and Derek A. Hughes, directed by Stefan Plaszynski. So Sam Scudder. He was in Central City 3 years ago with his girlfriend, Rosalind Dillon, and much like the rest of the city, had a nice particle accelerator bath that fateful night. And then he fell into a mirror. He reappeared today with the power of being able to travel through reflective surfaces. Dillon managed to get spun around too, and she'll give you a heck of a case of vertigo. She would definitely throw Jimmy Stewart for a loop. Flash and Jesse Quick are going to have to stop them before they go on a huge crime spree. He's starting with the man in the mirror. He's asking him to change his ways. I'm sorry. I should really
do that one.
I'm not going to sing that. So instead, Scudder throws Flash into the mirror. So Barry is going to get a little time off while he waits for the Star Labs crew to figure out a way to get him out of this predicament. Lucky for him, he'll have some time to reflect on his current relationship situation with Iris and check out her butt. It seems Joe is feeling a little uncomfortable watching his kids making out with each other. And I can't believe I just said that out loud. Cisco and Wells will get Barry out, though, maybe, if they can concentrate long enough between searching for another version of Harrison Wells to take the place of Harry when he leaves to go back to Earth 2. So they hold the weirdest job interview you've ever seen. Guess Caitlin may have to help Barry somehow.
I think she'll find a way.
I think she will.
I think she will too. Yeah. Well, all right. Thank you for that. Thank you for not singing right in the middle there. That was, I had a couple.
If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make the change.
I considered writing all the lyrics for you, but it didn't fit as well as I'd hoped, but that's okay. All right. So I just a couple little pieces of news I wanted to throw in here before we talk, start talking Scudder here. So earlier in the summer, when we were getting, I guess, press releases and, you know, information on the internet about Tom Felton's character on this series, this season, they said his name was Julian Dorn.
Yeah, that is correct.
As the season started and now on the credits and IMDb and things like that, it says his name is Julian Albert. So yeah. If anybody was still tacking that Dorn, maybe that was his maiden name. You know, I don't know.
Might have been. Well, I've been referring to him as Dorn for the last couple episodes, even though only because that's kind of what I had gotten in my head. But I guess they had said Albert as his last name in episode two, two episodes ago when he was first introduced. But it goes by so fast. They just keep referring to him as Julian. And so,
well, kind of that's how I kind of remember, too, just from the summer. And it's one of those characters, at least it appears to be one of those characters that's new to this universe, you know. So it's not like somebody that they would have to kind of keep the name
right,
the same,
from the comics,
you know?
Or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Harrison Wells is another example of a character that wasn't in the comics and has now become a regular on this series, which actually, I to tell you the truth here, at the first season and first couple seasons really had no problem because they called him Harrison, Dr. Wells, things like that. When they call him Harry on this, it sounds so much like Barry that I almost wish they'd go back to calling him other things besides Harry, because I wasn't – plus that guy didn't really strike me as a Harry.
He does not seem like a Harry the way that he acts, and that could be why they – are getting rid of that version of the character to introduce a new one, maybe because they were realizing that was a problem, but too late.
Maybe. All right. So anyway, Julian Albert, official. That's his name. We've been talking for a long time about this big four series crossover.
Yep.
And we know just a little bit more, and we won't share a lot of stuff on our show ahead of time.
Well, it starts with this really cool scene where the Flash. I'm sorry. Go ahead and share it. You said.
I said we won't. We won't.
No, won't share it. Got it.
No. But we do have a title, and I thought it would be good to share the title for the crossover. This comes straight from Mark Guggenheim himself. Now,
you know, this title can only mean one thing.
Yes, that is correct.
There we go. All right. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Dang, you caught me off guard. I could have really pulled that off. Now, he didn't tell us what the title of The Flash was called. But he
that
did
is
tell
true.
Us Arrow Episode 8 of the fifth season called Invasion with the exclamation point. You got to put the exclamation point.
Oh, I'm looking for that exclamation mark, yeah.
Now, Legends of Tomorrow 207 is going to be called Invasion. So he said, I'll leave it up to you to guess what The Flash is called.
Oh.
I'm guessing infiltration, maybe.
Coagulation. With the exclamation mark.
With the exclamation. I'm guessing, actually, it's invasion with a question mark.
Now, that would be...
It's more like, invasion! Invasion?
Well, that would be true, because Supergirl would be the first one, and it'll probably be called Invasion, or maybe Prelude to Invasion.
Maybe just Invasion with a period.
Yeah, and then Flash will be Invasion with a question mark, and then Arrow will be Invasion with one exclamation mark, and then maybe Legends of Tomorrow will be Invasion with two exclamation marks. So.
All caps, that kind of thing.
All caps, double underlined. So... I'm looking for. I'm getting more excited that I'm hearing about this. It just the way all the shows are kind of gelling this season.
Uh-huh.
I had some problems with Arrow last year. I had some problems with Legends of Tomorrow. Supergirl was kind of up in the air, no pun intended, because it was moving from CBS to CW. But all the shows have really started very solidly. And just given the hints that they've talked about for the crossover with Supergirl leading into Flash, leading into Arrow, which we've done before, and then leading into Legends of Tomorrow, I feel like they can really...
I think it's going to be
solidify
fun.
This. Yeah,
it really is going to be like one of those comic specials that they would have, where you put, you know, buy them all and then put the four covers together to make a big poster. I think it's going to be
fun.
Oh,
I hope they do episode posters for this.
I would love for that. I would love for that. Now, our friend Benjamin over there on Twitter, he's hoping Legends of Tomorrow can bow out of that, because he's not really digging the Legends of Tomorrow, it sounds like. But I'm excited that they're part of it. I want to see how they kind of pull all this off. So.
And that's fine. You can just stop watching after Arrow if you want to.
Sure. You know, you didn't have to buy all those comics to make the poster.
No, you did not.
Well, I did, but that's more of an OCD thing.
That is. <yeah. laughs>
And then I wanted to share one other news story, and this actually was sent to us by our good friend Armando, and right before we started recording tonight. So I just wanted to kind of share this. This was a really interesting story, though. There's a member of the camera crew on Flash named Jeff Cassidy. And he's making a little short film, just a little 15-minute movie about a dad who's creating some superhero story for his son. Like I don't know if he's telling it to his son or if something. But the reason I'm sharing it with you is because it – features a couple of actors that you may know from some of the shows we watch.
Oh, cool.
And on the Flash podcast here that I wanted to tell you was Tom Cavanaugh. He's going to be actually a villain in this little short story. But it also features Emily Bett-Ricards from Arrow, and she plays the mother. So anyway, I thought that's kind of neat that they are involved in that. I'm guessing this cameraman or member of the camera crew, you know, had this idea for a movie and started making it happen. And because he knows these people from the show, he probably asked them to join him on it. And
yeah,
they did. So awesome.
That's cool. Yeah. It looks kind of interesting. I had not heard about this, but I think I'll check it out when we're done recording.
Yeah, me too. So,
you can find this on YouTube, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I think it can be found on YouTube. I saw the article on entertainmentweekly.com, so you can also kind of do a search for there. The movie, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this at the beginning, but the movie is called Sidekick, and it's a short film by Jeff Cassidy. So maybe doing a little search for that will help too. So I'll try to put a link for it on there too. And thank you, Armando, for sharing that stuff. I always love the stuff that you share with us. So
yeah, great.
Good job. All right. So let's talk about the new Rogues.
Okay.
Because there's been kind of a shortage of Rogues in Central City.
I don't know. The new Rogues seem a lot like the old Rogues.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, they're all friends. They're all buddies. They hang out at the same Rogue bars. But, with the absence of Captain Cold and Heat Wave, you know, on Legends of Tomorrow, and Captain Cold is gone, we'll just say. You know, if you want to see more details about what happens to him, you can see Season 1. Nice to see him back, at least in some capacity this week, though. Pied Piper, he's a member of the Rogue, but he's become good.
He's kind
now.
Of good now, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy, which actually happened in the comics as well. So we needed some new Rogues. I was excited to hear about this, and we've been talking about this guy for a long time. Now, I will tell you, I kind of mentioned this at the top of the episode, but I found this a much more lighthearted episode, and I'm okay with that.
This was a real funny episode. I was laughing out loud at some of the parts. It went from being light to almost farcical in some places, I felt, which we're going to talk about, the voicemail or the video mail portion, I thought, was a little over the top, potentially, but I felt that it worked just because of the way that everything was played. I didn't ever feel with the character that there was, or with the bad guys, that there was any real danger with these characters.
Right. Now, even when Barry was trapped, it's not like we thought he was, oh no.
Right.
He's going to be there forever. But I know that it is popular right now to have continuous storyline television as opposed to episodic stories, you know, where just a different story each week and they're not necessarily connected. I know that's really the big thing. And they do that on Flash and Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow and all these. And you know what? I like that. It's great. It really you have a lot more interest in continually watching the show from week to week. But I got to be honest with you, I enjoy kind of having these little one-off specials that don't necessarily make a huge difference. There were things in this episode, obviously, the stuff with Caitlin and some continuing things with Wally that we saw a little bit. I mean, but I felt like this was just a nice little diversion for me.
Well, I think, yeah, I agree with that. But I think any one episode, I think they try to make it as self-contained as possible. There's always the threads that connect through, you know, like they do the, you know, previously on so that we can see what's going on. Yeah, like they had the DA come back in this particular episode, and I'm like, well, who is this lady again? The Cecilia?
Yeah.
Something like that. And I'm like, where was she from? And it was like all the way back. We haven't seen her for a season and a half, basically. But, you know, you've got these threads, and I guess if people only want to watch the episode, it'll be like, oh, yeah, I saw that cool one with the guy that can, like, go into mirrors and stuff. That was neat. And, you know, what else happened? I don't know. There was some other guy. There's people running around and this guy jumping back and forth through wormholes, and he was like a double. But whatever. You know, they don't understand what's going on there.
Well, they made Mirror Master and Top kind of villain of the weeky, you know, which I hope that they bring them back because those are two really important rogues villains in Flash lore. And I thought they pulled it off pretty well. You know, I thought they were both interesting stories. I actually thought Top was a little more interesting than Mirror Master, but there's potential there. So
yeah, she got a little more time on screen. I'm just thinking about this right now. We've been talking about how the Mirror Master probably has been working with Alchemy up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to completely change my mind on that because it appears that he's been trapped in the mirror and he just came out for this episode. So,
and I at first I was a little concerned that I wouldn't care for them creating a new villain from the particle accelerator explosion, which has been now 3 years, right, since that took place. And I thought maybe, it's been 3 years now. Can they pull that off realistically? But because it's Mirror Master and because he goes through wormholes, he understandably could come out in the future there later on, right? So I didn't mind that. Plus, it gave a great opportunity to have Wentworth Miller come back and show off Captain Cold a little bit again. So, and that was important to give him the connection to the Rogues, because if you're going to make Mirror Master, you need to make him part of the Rogues gallery. And so he has to have some kind of connection with other Rogues besides just the Top.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So, I thought it might, because he's not really an A-list Rogue or an A-list villain.
He was played by David Cassidy in the original Flash. I mean, how much more popular can you be?
Hey, that's got to be pretty important, actually. But yeah. I thought it might be worth sharing a little history with him just briefly and the Top.
Okay.
Because actually, the history has changed from this now. So Sam Scudder is a version of the Mirror Master that appeared in a Flash comic number 105, which was by John Brome and Carmine Infantino. So some legendary writers back there. And he was just a bad guy. He was just a robber, right? A convict. But he really wanted to learn really hard how to get inside a mirror. And so he experimented with different ways to get into his own reflection, and then he got that power of Mirror Master. So, yeah, it didn't really make any sense.
Well, yeah, and he wasn't a metahuman. He had a mirror gun, like they mentioned in this episode, if I'm remembering
well, that would be the Evan McCullough version of Mirror Master. He used the mirror gun, I think.
Okay.
Is that right, or am I remembering that differently?
I thought all the Mirror Masters had – some kind of device that they use.
Oh, see, now you're saying that. Now I'm second guessing myself. But I know that there's a really important Mirror Master story in the 75th anniversary collection of the Flash comics.
Okay.
And I believe that is that might have been where Barry first. No, I'm thinking of something else where Barry had gone back in time to meet Jay Garrick. But there was a couple really important stories with Mirror Master. One of them where that he went and saw an evil Barry, where Flash was the bad guy and Mirror Master was the hero in a different sort of
interesting
different, I guess, a different Earth, different universe of some kind, but through the mirror. So then we have Top. Okay, and Top first appeared in Flash number 122, but it was a man. It was a guy. And it was also created by John Roman, Carmine Infantino. But instead of Rosalind Dillon, his name was Roscoe Dillon.
Roscoe P. Dillon.
That's right.
Maybe not. I don't know about the P part.
We don't know. They never say. It could be.
Yeah.
It works. And Roscoe was just fascinated by Tops. And eventually became a criminal and turned his love of Tops into this identity, right?
I got to say, you reading this makes me believe it so much more than when I read it and watch, you know, look at the comic book and go, well, this is ridiculous. But it was the 60s.
They were ridiculous. But, you know, we didn't question it because it was just fun. They were just the villains and they had a shtick.
And it was comics.
It was. So he taught himself how to spin like a top, and eventually spinning increased his intelligence. And all right, that's enough. That's good. That was all the comics. But they're interesting classic rogue villain characters, and the way they brought them into the Flash TV show and modernized them, I guess you would say, I thought was done fairly successfully.
You know, I got to say, I had never heard of the Top before they announced her arrival for this season.
Really?
Yeah, that was just not – I mean, and I've read DC Comics off and on since Crisis on Infinite Earths, which had pretty much every character in it. And maybe he was in that or, you know, and I've read those Who's Who comics about all the different characters, and he was probably in that. But it just never – I don't recall this –
I don't know how you could forget a green and yellow striped suit for the top. But
I don't know. Goofy looking.
It is pretty goofy looking, but man, that's that cheesiness or hokiness or whatever you want to call it of those characters from the 60s. For me, as a reader of classic comics, that was something that I really enjoy looking back on now and seeing how, I guess, just, you know, quaint it was. But I actually have right here, because I had that classic stack of comics that I'd been looking through this summer, and I have an issue here with the Top right here, and you know, it's the terrible Top back from the dead to battle the Flash.
Well, you know what? I'm seeing now that he was in the Flashpoint Paradox as one of the rogues that was attacking Flash on the train or in the museum at the beginning. But, man, I must have blocked him out because he's ridiculous or something. I don't know. I do not
understand
why I can't remember this guy.
I'll show you this picture at the top. But anyway, so let's get into the episode and talk a little bit about these characters in the series.
Sure.
All right, so we had a question, you and I. I don't even remember if we talked about this on the air, but Jesse Quick gets her uniform this week. And we wondered if it was the similar or the same to Trajectory.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this last week. I was going to do some investigation for this episode.
All right, and what did you find out?
I've got my report right here. So,
thank you. I appreciate you getting that turned in on time.
Yep. I hope I get a good grade on it. Yes, it is Trajectory's outfit.
Wow.
No, it's so Trajectory was the female speedster from last season who basically was she was a lab worker at Mercury Labs who went kind of nuts. I can't remember why she got her powers again, but she kind of went so fast by the end of the episode, she just disintegrated and they were kind of left with this uniform.
Yeah, I think it was the Velocity 9, right? She was experimenting with that, or the Velocity Drive. I don't know if it was 9 or whatever.
It was one of the Velocities.
And it ended up killing her in the same way that Zoom, you know, said it was killing him or something.
Yep.
I'm just hoping they use this. You think this was the same actual uniform?
Well, I don't know if it's the exact same uniform, but it's the same design. I mean, like I've got a couple of screenshots. The only thing that's different, of course, is the Flash emblem on the chest. But if you look at the stripes on the arms, the way the shoulder epaulette piece works, the belt piece and the stripes that kind of come down the side under the rib cage towards the belly, exactly the same. And she wears the same domino-style mask where it's flat across the top and rounded underneath the eyes. So it's like a letter B put over her eyes then.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, in some versions of Jesse Quick, that is what she has, as opposed to, say, like a more of a Flash cowl or a whole head wraparound thing.
Yep.
She's got a variety of different uniforms. Well, if they did use the same uniform, I hope they at least, you know, scraped out the disintegrated guts of trajectory at least.
I'm sure they sent it out for dry cleaning.
Did you? Well, it is leather. You can't really just throw it in the washing machine. So
right. I mean, and of course, what dry cleaner would they use? They'd use Zips, obviously. So I don't know if they have that out there, but that's a big cleaner out here in the Maryland area. Zips dry cleaner.
Never heard of Zips, but I already like it.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems obvious. And whether they – I don't think there's a need for them really to point this out. Like, why would you need to point out the fact that you took a little two-bit villain from season two and used their costume to, you know, give it to Jesse Quick? It just – you know, it's cool, I think, again, like an in-joke or an Easter egg piece for fans who watch like this, but –
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Okay. I mean, it looks good. I liked it on trajectory too. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more homage to the comics Jesse Quick, but like I said, there's been different versions of it.
Yeah.
I did see an article on comicbook.com that had some design work, some, you know, artistic design work for when they were making the costume for her. And,
okay.
Three different designs, but they were hardly different at all. Some of them didn't even include the Flash emblem, and it was really just the mask and a couple of the line designs on the uniform itself that were different. So not a whole lot different, but a little bit.
Yeah, and that the first one looks like it's kind of got, like you said, that head wraparound piece with like little ear pieces with the lightning bolts sticking up out of her hair.
Yeah, it looked a little odd. I'm glad they didn't go with that.
Yeah.
So, now, how do you think they pulled Jesse off in this? Do you think it worked?
Yeah, for the most part. I liked the way she used her abilities, right? She seems relatively confident. She's got some stumbling points with her powers, which is expected, right? Because they're brand new and, you know, Barry's teaching her, kind of taking her under his wing, very quickly to, but she's going to go back to Earth 2. So it's like, all right, that was, you know, not a lot of training really. That we got to see.
Were you surprised that they were sending him back to Earth 2 so soon?
Yeah. In the show, I can understand why they do that, you know, because having multiple speedsters around, you know, makes it so it's like, well, it's very easy for them to take care of villains that way, right? So they need to have not all the speedsters on the planet at the same time. But just from hey, it's nice seeing these characters again. I'm a fan of Harry. I do enjoy that character. And Jesse's fun. So it was kind of a surprise that they weren't going to keep him around for another episode. But my only... dissension on anything from this episode was probably the romantic subplots. Jesse with Wally, which just seemed really kind of awkward. I mean, you know, maybe it's because they're like teens and they're still trying to figure it out. It felt awkwardly written. And then all the
a little forced
Barry Iris, her dad kind of thing. That was just kind of weird because, well, we can talk about that a little bit more later if you want to.
I do want to get to that relationship.
But Jesse was fun. She's grown on me as a character because we really didn't see her too much to begin with because she was in prison. We heard a lot about her, but I didn't think much about her in the first couple episodes and thought she was a little bit annoying. But she's kind of grown on me and it's interesting now that she's got her powers.
I am with you. I liked her as the hero character, and you know, she's got that kind of innocence and not knowing what to do yet because she's really new to this. I like Barry as the mentor in this case and being able to help her with that. I wouldn't want him to see him doing that all season. So I'm okay with her not sticking around so much, but I was shocked that they sent her back the very next episode. For me, the whole relationship with her and Wally was just awkward. And I like the idea of those two. And I thought they even could have done more to it, stretched out further among a few weeks with their relationship connected to his desire to have the speed so much. I think that's an interesting aspect of the story, and I don't think they use that as much as they did as that kind of weird romantic vibe that they were trying to pull off.
I think they can kind of re-reference that when Wally talks about stuff like, you know, oh no, I'm okay with Jesse being like that, even though she's not going to be there. I think they can still deal with that. But I agree that that aspect of it with the fact that she got powers, but he didn't, and he's a little miffed at the whole thing. He seemed like he was having a little more fun with it this week. He wasn't as suicidal as he was last week. So that was kind of cool. But yeah.
All right. So yeah. Okay. I'm okay with Jesse now. Apparently she's going back. She's going back with her dad. Harry's leaving. I'm very disappointed in that. I actually was kind of hoping that they would find a way to keep him around. So they're keeping Tom Cavanaugh around, but they're replacing him with another Harrison Wentz. This was absolutely ridiculous to me, but
this is the most like comic book thing they've done. Like totally out there.
I would say this is more comic strip thing that they've done than comic book.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, it was kind of played for laughs. So
none of that is a criticism. I actually found it quite entertaining. I mean, it was fun. It was at first I thought, oh, come on, this is ridiculous. Really, they're going to go fishing for a new Harrison Wells to replace this guy, so Tom Cavanaugh can still be on? Because I mean, Harry Wells, he's still alive, around. There's nothing wrong with him, so there isn't any reason they couldn't keep him there.
But he keeps talking about the need to be on his own Earth, right? I mean, we've really gotten attached to Earth 2, and that there is, you know, and he's a big deal on that Earth. So
true.
They made him too important for that place for him to leave.
Well, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, you know what? Why not? Let's experiment with this a little bit. Let's get another Wells in here, see what we can do with them. And turns out we got more than one Wells. So let's break it down a little bit. Let's see which one we've got. So calling up from Earth 17, down from number 12 last week. we had – well, first they showed us Wild West Wells.
What? Yeah, that was funny.
Now, hey, you think there's infinite Earths, so they're not all going to be in the same timeline progression as us, you know, or they didn't develop in the same way. So there might be one where they're still traveling around in Western clothes and, you know, hanging out and having bad sandwiches or whatever it was that he ate.
I mean, we've got all sorts of Elseworlds in the multiverse currently in the 52 Earths. You know, there's some that are still stuck in medieval times or where, America didn't win the Second World War or whatever.
If Star Wars can have an entire planet that's themed to one environment, there's no reason why we can't have infinite number of Earths. Then we got your stuffy British Wells from Earth 17.
Pass.
was that the steampunk looking guy? Was that?
Yeah. He was very steampunk inspired there.
I like the look, but yeah, I don't think I could deal with that guy. We got the French mime Wells.
My favorite one. When I saw him, I was like, oh, it's Bon Voyage.
Oh my gosh. It was Bon Voyage.
Mission Incroyable.
They didn't like him much. And then you got, now I heard him described as the hipster bowler hat guy.
That is not a bowler hat, Josh.
That is not a bowler hat. I know. No. I agree with you. What do you think?
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, pork pie.
Yeah, it's a pork pie hat, right? Bowler hat's round.
Yeah, so. Bowler hat is like odd job wears in James Bond.
Yeah,
in Goldfinger.
It's dome shaped, right?
Yeah.
Hey, watch a. What's that? There was some Disney movie out there that
Meet the Robinsons,
right? That's bowler hat guy. That's a bowler hat right there.
Goobian.
yeah. Mike Goobian. That is a great movie. Great movie. Earth 19.
Speaking
was
of time
the,
travel,
was the winner yeah. of the Wells raffle drawing, I guess.
I will just submit my curriculum vitae and wait for call. Oh, and thank you. Yeah. So he's very odd.
Interesting guy. So
yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? Now, it turns out they're going to have him. They had him come through the wormhole, and he's going to be staying with us for a little while. We don't know how long.
Obviously, he's got no Star Labs of his own. That's the thing. If I guess Wells in all other universes doesn't necessarily have to revolve around Star Labs and or, you know, Barry and group. You know, it seems like everything would be kind of splintered off of our universe, but in the multiverse of the comics and stuff, obviously that's not true. It's, you know, like you said, some can be Wild West, you know, some can be, you know, whatever, underwater. I don't know.
Hippie? Is there a hippie Earth, maybe?
Oh, probably. Oh, gosh.
Hey, how about one where there's, you know, it's all stuck in 60s rogue villain characters from comics and things like that, where
that would
the
be
top
awesome.
Would be wearing that skin-tight yellow and green striped outfit.
I would love to see them do some other fun stuff like this, definitely. But
okay, so we don't really know much about where they're going with Tom Cavanaugh's character this season. We have heard literally nothing about what they're going to do.
Other than
him.
He was going to be a regular still.
Right. So we don't, I mean, we've heard about other characters that were coming on, and we've already seen some of them. We've heard that Kid Flash was coming, and we've heard, you know, this kind of stuff. So they're bringing this Wells in to help him out, hang out at Star Labs. Apparently he was totally down with that. Are we trusting this guy based on what we've seen so far?
I'm going to say yes, only because when he shows up, he's like, you know, greetings, Earthlings. And I was like, oh no, what have they done? And then he's like, no, I'm just kidding. And I'm like, what an awesome jokester. You know, that, I don't know, multiversal humor, I guess. I don't know. I just thought that was funny. It seems like.
Now that's a new thing. See, that's going to be, it's going to be huge.
Right. It's a big thing. It's huge. I think they're going to have to get used to him, but I feel like, yeah, you know, they said he's the most normal one. I think Cisco said, you know, we've got a normal, non-villainous Harrison Wells, which we haven't gotten before, which I thought was kind of an insult to Harry.
Oh, yeah. With a sense of
humor.
Because
he's not really villainous. Yeah. But, yeah, I think he'll be okay. And just like you said, we don't know what they're doing with the character, but it opens up a whole new avenue. You know, they've got to learn how to talk to this new Harrison. Like, how's he, you know, they gave him, what, a 30-second once over here. And they're like, oh, yep, sure. And then this is Barry, and he's the Flash. And it's like, well, there you go. Just sharing your secrets with everybody.
Yeah, they're not as careful with the secret anymore. So, well, I think something's going to go down with this guy. I don't know that he will be their Wells. I think he's going to be there and causing some kind of issues, whether on purpose or just happenstance of him being who he is. But, you know, hey, I like how Tom Cavanaugh has interacted with him. If it is their Wells, if he is going to stick with that for a while, then I need a good relationship with him and Cisco. that's got to be really, really important.
Well, they had that cool handshake. They did the kind of clap their hands, and then he does the little praying motion and stuff.
Yeah, and you are very handsome. I like that. Okay, so anyway, we'll kind of keep our eye on that. Next week, it sounds like we're going to be getting some important Wells storyline there. So we'll have to watch on for that. But the one more thing that I definitely wanted to touch on this week for sure is a little bit about Caitlin. Now we already knew.
Hang on one second before we go away from Wells.
You got more about Wells? Okay.
This is about Harry. So Harry, as they're leaving, is like, you know, remember, always blah, 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 and he disappears. And, like, what was he going to say? Like, what was going on?
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely have – I mean, he could have been, you know, reminding them to – you know, turn off the gas or something. I don't know.
That's important. Whatever it was he was going to say, that was important.
it probably
and they're not
going to
do it.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. They're not going to do whatever he was going to say.
Yeah. Obviously.
No, I mean, they'll screw it up big time. They'll do completely the opposite.
Yes, of course. Oh, I got to go back in time so I can hear what he had to say. No, Barry. Gosh darn it, did you not learn
Maybe anything? That's what he was going to say. Stop going back in time.
Yeah, possibly.
All right, so we knew Caitlin was getting her powers, that she's had this, mm-hmm. but it seems to be intensifying. And I don't know if it's from use, you know, kind of like how Barry, when he used his speed in Flashpoint, it made it worse, or he got worse or something. Mm-hmm. She had to use them to get Barry out. Of the mirror. And hey, can I just one little quick side note?
Mm-hmm.
You
sure.
cannot achieve absolute zero. That is impossible. So maybe,
thank you, Mr. Science Guy.
Hey, maybe Cisco got really close, but they do not have a gun that goes absolute zero.
Well, but it would have to go below absolute zero is basically what they were saying. Which I also found very strange because
what is below absolute? Below absolute zero is when all molecules stop movement completely. So
I know this. Why are you telling? Don't yell at me.
See, how do you go below that? You can't do that. How do they stop even more than stopping all the way?
I heard technobabble, absolute zero. Ah, and then technobabble. So yeah, it's the more you know in this case is probably a distraction.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, I'll forget I know that stuff.
Okay.
Why does she want so badly to keep her new powers a secret? I mean, she's in this team where almost everybody has powers now. They all know it. They all help each other with it, support each other with it, train with it, understand it, study it. Why is she wanting this to be a secret?
I don't know, because unfortunately, thanks to Barry, screwing up the Flashpoint timeline, we don't know like what has happened with Caitlin in, you know, previously. We can assume that pretty much everything we've seen to date happened. But obviously there was probably one other or several other things that may have occurred at that same, you know, in the past, that make her wary about this. You know, the Caitlin from Earth 2 was very bitter about a whole number of things, you know, very much isolated. So who knows if there's still some kind of family issue or something going on with Earth 1 Caitlin or Terra Prime Caitlin.
Well, do you think that she's been hearing Dr. Alchemy, dreaming about it? Do you think... She hasn't shared anything, but it doesn't seem as if that's been an issue.
I don't think so. Just from the case that she was an ophthalmologist in Flashpoint and not a metahuman.
Right.
That's the only thing I have to go on. So far, all the characters brought over from Flashpoint, which would just be, what's his face?
The rival?
The rival. Thank you. He's the only one that's come over so far, right? It's, or was there, Was there someone?
Well,
last
there's
week
been
too?
Five husks, well, so yeah, we don't really know. We don't know of any yet, but we think that there might be one that actually maybe killed the rival. So we're not entirely sure.
Right. Right. So anyway, she wasn't a
Magenta.
Oh, Magenta. Right. So, thank you. Of course, that was all last week's episode, wasn't it?
It's been a whole week.
It's been a whole week. I know that is that's hard. But yeah, because she didn't have powers at the same time, you know, or in the Flashpoint universe, I don't think so.
Hmm. Okay. Well, there. I even heard one theory that I just don't buy. But what if this is Earth 2, Caitlin? Okay, not from Flashpoint, but actually Earth 2, Caitlin, and she's trying to hide it. I don't see that. Not in her performance of Caitlin and.
Yeah, I mean, she's taking a shower, and also she seems really surprised by the fact that she froze the water and stuff like that. So, unless it's Earth 2 Caitlin who got transported here and doesn't remember. No, I mean, I think this is Earth 1 Caitlin that there again, there's been something in the timeline that we just don't know about. And one of those things that Barry changed that we're slowly finding out each episode, there's something else that got changed or... Yeah, you know, well, something else is slightly different.
Caused that, or maybe this would have happened anyway. Cisco got his powers late, so
yeah, we talked about Caitlin getting powers, but other than the original particle accelerator explosion, you know, I don't think there was anything else. And yeah,
well,
I mean,
there was a second particle accelerator explosion. Oh, but
right,
she wasn't
but they
with
didn't
him.
Overtly show her getting.
Yeah, she wasn't with hit. Him. She was. Zoom had her. At that
in
point.
Earth 2, yeah.
So yeah, that I didn't think about that. But all right, well, we're going to learn lots more about her next week. I am concerned, though, why she's keeping her powers a secret if she needs to reveal those to her friends. I mean, heck, they reveal everything else to their friends and apparently, you know, new people that they meet from different universes.
I think she just needs to wait until Kevin Smith gets here and he'll help bring it all out.
I think he will do that. And we'll see that in just a couple weeks too. So, all right, real briefly, man, Iris and Barry, they are hot and heavy into this relationship. They're enjoying their time together, even when it's uncomfortable around Joe. They kind of work around that. And Joe needs to just make a move with Celia, man. Come on. Jeez. Just go. Just because you're nervous, just go for it. She clearly is into you, Joe.
Movie night. Gotta go.
With your kids? What, are you crazy? I was getting ready to call Celia and go, you know what? I don't have a movie night with my kids. okay, so, man,
Josh,
Barry and
married.
Iris. I know, I'm married. I'm very concerned about this relationship right now. Any time in a series when you put two characters that have kind of been, you know, getting close to getting together, but, you know, certain things happen, and then all of a sudden they get together. Things go bad.
They are moving way too fast.
Yes. And my question... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and the whole thing, like I mentioned earlier with Iris, it's just... So, my wife, you know, like, was like, you know, we weren't going to be doing any kind of PDA in public anyway, but, you know, not in front of her parents either. I mean, that's just...
Yeah,
and Iris is like all happy. It's like, I'll be sticking my tongue down your throat and my dad's right there. I don't care.
Iris is a very liberal thinking girl, isn't she?
She is a 21st century woman.
I still don't do that around my in-laws, and I've been married for 24 years. So, I mean, I kiss my wife, and you know what? I'll hug her and sit next, but I don't, you know, make out with her or anything like
right.
that. So,
hang on a second.
Thanks for making me Sunday breakfast. I'll be in the back room with your daughter. Yeah, so I don't think
done.
Joe had anything. Although, you know, as you had said in the intro, I mean, they really are his two kids. And that
yeah. Right, that's got to be equally
that is
awkward.
Little, that's even a little worse. So, you know, cut him a little slack there, Iris. But I think for me the question is not if, but when this is all going to go south. With this relationship,
wait,
something's going to happen.
When you say go south,
I mean it's going to go bad for them.
Go
the
badly.
Relationship
okay,
is not
got
going
it.
To work. At least right now, something's going to break them apart.
What if he gets his own place? Then they can go south. Wait, he is moving out, isn't he?
He is moving out. Yes. So I don't know. This is
deteriorating rapidly.
You get that thing where main characters on a show finally get together romantically, and then things start to break down with the story. It's, you know, the moonlighting
syndrome, right? Exactly. Yes. We talk about that quite often. I will say just to mention with Barry getting his own place, though. I think that'll be a little liberating for the show. That I think they can open up some of his storylines. Maybe Patty Spivitt could come back at that point. That would be great to reintroduce her into this triangle. You know,
I want her back. I would really like to see her on again.
But if he gets his own place, he absolutely needs to get a dog. I totally want to see. I want to see the 21st century Barry Allen on the Flash TV show get a dog just like John Wesley Shipp had on the old one.
I loved his dog. He had a cool dog.
Yeah, so that'd be cool.
All right. Well, we are running out of time. I want to get the feedback. Anything else you wanted to kind of add to this week's episode?
I'm not sure how the whole mirror thing is supposed to work, but Barry's logo was not reversed. He was still facing front in it, so... And I'm assuming it's because he was literally in there. It was not a reflection of him,
okay,
per se, but his speech was backwards. So I don't know.
It would have been a nice little touch, actually.
Yeah, I thought they – I was like, oh, I'm sure it's reversed. Then when I looked at it again, I was like, nope. So
it's got to be some explanation. I'm sure that that's part of the Drost effect or something. I don't know. But all right, so we had a couple little things of feedback that I wanted to share with you. This first one is from Facebook, from Kenneth, and wrote a great, nice long message to us, and I'm not going to share it all, but the general idea of it I thought was a good thought, and I have actually thought about this myself. He says, while I love time travel and love that this is a major component of The Flash, I find myself somewhat frustrated with how inconsistent the rules seem to be for time travel and how it's explained on the show. So he gives an example I'll share with you. It says, seems that sometimes when someone travels back in time, they can coexist with their past selves, and in other cases, the future self replaces the past self. Is Barry's old house a time nexus where only there can be flashes from multiple times coexist? I have thought about that. I think we even mentioned about how many flashes are going to be in that room when his mother dies.
Yeah. It's getting a little crowded in here.
Excuse me. Oh, pardon me. No, pardon me. Hey, nice suit. I understand your thoughts on that. I think this is one of those times, like you were saying, Jay, you know, it's like the techno babble. Sometimes you just kind of have to go with it.
Yeah.
And when you're doing this much time traveling and back looping and even more than a Back to the Future movie, I think you kind of have to just go with it. And that's a horrible answer. I don't want to be like an apologist, but that is kind of how I watch it.
Yeah, in a lot of the ways where, you know, the powers that a superhero has in any particular episode or issue is what is needed to defeat the villain, you know, why Superman sometimes can do certain things and his powers work a certain way. Yeah. That's kind of what they've got here. It's like, well, that's how time travel needs to function for the purposes of this story. And unfortunately, you know, because I think if they try to be consistent, that's going to hem them into a certain area, and then they won't be able to do the story the way they want to do the story. So who knows?
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
That's kind of making it convenient for the writers and the show itself. But I feel like that's part of the fun of watching characters that have these unbelievable powers and abilities that we would never see. So I think some of that stuff comes with, you know, things like time travel that we'll never see, and we don't understand it fully. Even they don't understand it fully. So sometimes I think those things can work. It doesn't have to be like a time cop thing, like where if you touch your other self, you freak out and, you know, your beard
turn inside out. Yeah.
Yeah. but hey, you know what, Kenneth, great message. A lot to think about there. And I love talking about that stuff. So I never mind people pointing it out. And then when it comes to the show, I just kind of sit back and relax and enjoy.
Yeah. So. Hey, we also got a message from Benjamin on Twitter here, who sends us lots of messages for our multiple shows here. So we do appreciate that. But this particular one says, hope hashtag Mirror Master comes back for way more. And that Flash Jesse racing up the building scene was wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, that was I like that race.
It looked cool with everything, other than the fact that Jesse just doesn't listen. Stay here, I mean it. And she's off. So
yeah, but the way they have presented the speed in this series is really beautiful to watch. The way they pulled off the effects, because it really does look like somebody is running at the super speed, more so than you'll see in the '90s Flash and other versions of this. I'll be interested to see how they do it in the movie, if it's a different effect. Mm-hmm. Or if it's something different. I saw like in what was it, the Avengers, where they did
Quicksilver.
The silver Quicksilver, right.
Yeah.
That was pretty good too and different. So but in this one with the lightning and the every once in a while slowing it down with the close ups, I think works really effectively for this series.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That sounds cool.
All right, looking thanks, Benjamin. Appreciate that. Hey, few references this week, and we can go through these really quickly because some of them are a bit of a stretch, but I wanted to share them anyway because I do think that they were thinking about it when they added them to this episode.
Okay, you want me to go, or are you going to go? Or?
You know, why don't you take this first one?
Okay, so at the beginning, in the flashback with Captain Cold, they were at Broom Industries. Which is where Mirror Master kind of got created, which was a nod to John Broom, as you mentioned, one of Sam Scudder's co-creators, which very cool. I thought that was neat the way they did that.
Yeah. And then, okay, so they said, who was this that said this one? Was this Cisco?
Yeah, it was Cisco.
Yeah. If anyone can teach Jesse the ways of the Speed Force, and that's obviously a slightly modified quote from Star Wars.
Is that where that's from? That's great. And then Barry realizes in counseling Jesse shortly after that, when he gives his sage advice, he says, oh my gosh, I've become Oliver, realizing that he's teaching her in the same with the same language that Oliver Queen, the Green Arrow, has used before. So that was pretty
cool. He just needs to shoot her in the leg with an arrow, and then he's good.
He doesn't use those. Can you imagine if he also had a bow and arrow? He'd be really dangerous.
Wow, Flash. That sounds like a special crossover comic book where they merge characters.
Yeah.
Well, Harry Wells mentions the Mirror Master on Earth. Evan McCullough has the mirror gun. So that was, like I said, another version of Mirror Master in the comics named Evan McCullough. Mm-hmm. He was a little bit different. He was created by Grant Morrison and Chaz Truog.
He was Mirror Master 2.
Mirror Master 2, the sequel.
Second one to take that on.
The Revenge.
The top had a skirt. The colors in her skirt mimicked the top's comic book outfit and the way that it sort of looked, which was cool.
Yeah, the green and yellow stripes. I thought that was neat. They even mentioned it. So now, this is one of those I said was kind of a stretch, but there was a scene where Mirror Master and Top were kissing, like he kind of grabbed her and dipped her a little bit and kissed her. Mm-hmm. This reminded me a lot of a picture. Now, I didn't mention this earlier, but the character of the Top in the comics, like I said, was a man, and he was actually dating Golden Glider.
So Snart's sister.
Right, right.
Okay.
And yeah, she was really mad when he died, and she tried to get revenge on Flash a lot of times because of that. But there's a kind of a classic scene you could probably find on the internet of the Top kissing Golden Glider, and has that same dip, same angle, same direction that he's dipping her and everything. And I don't know if they got that from that, but just to do a scene like that seemed to me like it was a nod to the comic book. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh yeah, if you saw it that way, I think that works as a reference. That's pretty cool. Now, since Harrison Wells first showed up in season one, we've kind of had speculated if his middle name started with a G, so he could be H.G. Wells. Well, when the Harrison Wells from Earth 19 comes across here in this episode, he says they can call him H.R. So H.R. Wells. I didn't. Basically, when he says H.R., all I could think of was Puffin Stuff, which obviously shows my age a little bit.
They call him HR. Now they had real quickly. I want to show those Earths that they shouted out. The Earth 17, Earth 19. Those are actually comic book references as well. They didn't just pick random numbers. Okay. They have been in the comics. Earth 17 has been overrun by super intelligent animals.
Captain Carrot and his Zoo Crew.
Maybe.
Is that where they're from?
I don't know. Oh. But the humans are enslaved. And it's according to the comics, Earth 17 is glowing with radioactivity and hope. Then Earth 19 is still stuck in the Industrial Revolution, and it's actually a home to the Elseworld Gotham characters Gaslight Batman, Joker, Catwoman, and others too. So, so I think I've actually read some of those. That's a cool one, and I didn't know what the Terra Prime one was. Do you know that?
Well,
one?
Well, Terra Prime is just a fancy way of saying Earth 1.
Right, right. But have they used that in comics? It sounded familiar, but I couldn't find any reference to it.
I don't know that they've referred to it specifically as such.
Okay. All right.
And I don't know who decides that Earth 1 is Earth 1. Because wouldn't everybody think that they were Earth 1? I don't know. But there was a really brief scene of some film that they were watching in the West household where Iris tries to cuddle with Barry.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a horror film. Well, it kind of is a horror film. But I looked at it and I'm like, I wonder if I can identify what that is. And I, you know, because you only see it for a brief second. And I'm like, wait a second, that's Forbidden Planet, which is a serious role for Leslie Nielsen before he started being a comedy actor. It's a sci-fi movie. Basically, it's a sci-fi adaptation of The Tempest. But these characters go on a spaceship and they get attacked by this weird kind of ghostly creature. I don't think it has any specific bearing on anything from this episode, but
it's a great classic sci-fi movie.
Yeah, it's an excellent film. If you guys haven't seen it, it's a good sci-fi film. And then there was a quick shout out to Twin Peaks as well when they were talking about the reversed dialogue and stuff like this. And Twin Peaks is actually coming back for some new episodes here shortly with the original creator, David Lynch.
Oh, there you go. Oh, man, for a one-off episode, that is a lot to talk about. And we could have – there were some other things I didn't even get into that I thought would have been fun. But I hope they bring these characters back. They're still around. They didn't die. So they're keeping them in non-reflective cages and places where – Top can't make anybody dizzy, I guess. Celia will keep an eye on them. You know, she seems to be getting good at that.
Yep.
But,
yep.
You know, but that's all for this week. There's a lot more coming next week with the new Wells and a monster and all kinds of good stuff. But for this week, Jay, you and I, we have to run.
Monster. Oh, boy. Gonna have to watch out for that one. So, well, hey, but if you guys enjoyed this particular podcast episode, please be sure to leave us feedback on iTunes. You can also contact us as, who was it here? Kenneth did. Oh, no, Kenneth contacted us on Facebook. So that would be at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast, or like Benjamin did on Twitter at Scarlet Velocity. Or you can email us at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com.
And you can also check out our other shows, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, and those are all at randomchatter.com. But, of course, you can find them through the iTunes Store and Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoyed this podcast, we would love for you to go out and tell all your friends about it, tell your comic book shop about us, post us on Facebook and Twitter. We would love to hear that. And remember, don't forget this. This is very important. Remember, forwards and backwards. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.